Amen. You're right.
Thanks, Pastor Phil. Good morning. It's a good day, isn't it? It is a good day to come together to worship the Lord. You know, as we're singing and we're worshiping, my prayer has been lately, as I've been doing some study on this, is that this church, Cornerstone, that each and every one of you today would walk away, or this during this Christmas season, should I say, walk away with a greater awareness, a heightened sensitivity to the presence of God in your life. I want everyone to know here right now that God is with you right now. And those are some of the most comforting words that you could ever receive. God is with you. You know, when God chose to come into this world and introduce himself into this world, he chose the most intimate way possible. God being God, he could have just appeared anywhere and he could have just said, he could have claimed the Son of God and he could have done the miracles, he could have raised people from the dead, he could have died on the cross and gave his life for our sins, and he still all could have been valid because he's God and he came to earth, but he chose to enter this world in the most intimate of ways, in the womb of a belly. And that it just tells us so much, it proves how genuine and how close, how intimate God desires to be with each and every one of us, that he chose genuine intimacy to be his introduction into the world. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. And last week we started with the prophecy in Isaiah, and then it's again spoken in Matthew, where the virgin shall give birth to a child, and he shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so that's what we're talking about right now, this morning, that God, it tells us everything. It tells us everything about who God is, that he chose to come as a baby. And I actually appreciate that God chose to come as an infant and not just a burly man, you know? Oh, I'm really excited. Oh, my son, I got to tell you about this. My son, we keep asking him what he wants for Christmas. You know, what is it that you want? All he says, I want a Jesus toy. I'm like, what? They don't make those. You know, I don't know. He's like, oh, Dad, all I want is a Jesus toy. Anyway, we found them this awesome Jesus toy, and it's so funny because he's kind of like jacked too, and he's, you know, he's wearing the, and he quotes scripture in like the most soft. It's really cool. Anyway, it's way too expensive for a Jesus toy. Anyway, I don't know why I went off on that. I was just really excited that we found him that toy. Where am I? Oh, it says everything about God. It says everything about him, that he chose to enter into a world as a child and live as a child, breathe as a child, work as a child, grow up as a man and a teenager to experience the same life that you go through. It tells us that he chose not to be distant from us, but to be ever so present with us. Not to be removed from our difficulties, not to be removed from our pain, not to be removed from our suffering, but to participate in our suffering with us. To participate in pain, to participate in difficulties, and to be our solution to everything. Amen? It proves God's fixation of being with you every moment of every day. He's fixated on it. He's fixated on it. Do you know the greatest need that you have this morning? Everyone in here has the same greatest need. It's not salvation. Uh-oh. It's the presence of God in your life. It's the very presence of God in your life is the greatest need that every single one of us have, because we were created to be one with our Creator. We were created to live, breathe, and have our being in the essence of who God is in our lives. And so that's what I pray this morning, is that each and every one of you will walk away with a heightened sensitivity, a heightened awareness that God is with you right now. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 139. It's an incredible psalm. It's got a lot of passion in it, and I'm going to read through the whole section of verses 1 through 10. And as we're looking at this, I want you to just to look at the intimacy here. I want you to see the intimacy of understanding that David is just like, it's just come to an awareness of how close God is to him right now. In Psalm 139, he starts out and he says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me." Now that word "know" is as intimate as it gets in the Bible. It's as intimate as it gets. "You know when I sit down, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar, you discern my going out, my lying down, you're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in," which means you enclose me or you envelop me, you wrap your arms around me, "behind me and before me, you have laid your hand upon me." Such knowledge is just too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to even attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where is it that I can flee that's from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I raise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side from the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. That is pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, I just wish someone would get me? Anybody ever think, like, I just wish my wife sometimes would understand me. She just doesn't get me. I don't know why. It seems pretty easy to understand me. But the truth of the matter is not everybody understands. You don't get me. I don't get you. There's just this intimacy about who we are, our DNA, and our makeup that makes us so intricate. And only one person knows who we are, the one who created us the way we are. He's the only one that fully understands us. And David here, he's ecstatic about this awareness. It's like he's jotting down his thoughts. It's like a revelation to him. God, you're so near to me. It's like saying, God, you know me so perfectly, far beyond what I even know of myself. You know my every action, God. You know my every motive behind every thought, everything I do. Lord, you know about it before I even do it. Even before the thoughts in my head are even fully conceived, Lord, you know about them. Even before my vocal cords begin to vibrate and stir up words, Lord, you know the words that are coming out of my mouth. And I, you know, when you think about this and you think of who David was, he could be somebody who could be thinking about this and it could be a revelation like, oh my gosh, God, you know everything about me. You know my every thoughts, and he could be sweating it out, right? Because this is the God of the universe, and only you and I know the thoughts and the deep, dark things that go on inside of us. And you could be thinking, David would be like sweating it out. But look at David's reaction here. He's not trembling at all. He's not trembling at all. He's not sweating this out, but he's expressing a joy. He's expressing a peace. He's expressing a comfort in this, of knowing that God is fully engaged in everything that you do, before and after and presently. In verse 5, he says, Lord, you enclose me, which means that you make sure that I'm always closely watched by you. You make sure of it. You never let me out of your reach. He's constantly enveloping and never let you go. He says, you enclose me, not only before, but behind me. Or not only behind me, but before. And so what that's saying here is that God has your entire life in his hands. God has your entire life in his hands. He encloses you not only behind you, and so his hand is not only upon you in your past, and all of us could look back 10, 15, 20 years and see, wow, God, you really had your hand on my life right there. I was just walking in faith right there, but God, you showed me that your hand has been on my life. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 5, and I know that at that moment, in that sincerity of that moment, that God had his hand on my life, and I can now look back as my life is for him now, and I live for him, as I can see, wow, God, you had me from day one. And that's amazing, right? And so not only does God have you in your back, not only is his hand holding you in your past, but he's already there for you in your future. You see that you cannot arrive at any place in life but a place that has already been preceded by God. He is an eternal God. He's an everlasting God. He is the beginning and the end. He is eternal. And so he stretches. God, time does not exist in God. God created time for us, but God exists outside of time. He is the everlasting to everlasting. There is no end. And so he's already been in your future. He has already been in your past. Not only has his hand upheld you in your past, but his hand is laid out for you in your future. You do not arrive at any place in life that God has not already preceded you there. That is comforting news. That is comforting news. He knows the circumstances that you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what you're going to face a year from now, 10 years from now. He's already there. I was talking with my daughter about this last night. She was helping me with my sermon. And she was reading through it, and we were talking about it, and I was just like, baby girl, I want you to know that God has prepared a way for you. And God, I want you to know this morning that God has prepared a way for you. in His perfect plan, in His perfect past purposes. God has prepared a plan for you. And where you are at currently right now is God preparing you for the way that He's prepared, provided for you. That didn't come out right. Does it sound right? Okay, God has provided a way for you. He's provided your future. He's already there in your future. He's already mapped it out. He's already lined it out. And so where you're at right now, in whatever circumstance that you're facing right now, with God present with you, alongside of you, as He's working in and through you, He is preparing you. He is shaping you. He is molding you for that which He has prepared for you in advance. That's comforting. That is comforting news. Because even though none of us know what the future holds, every single one of us can have a blessed assurance and confidence that His hand is upon your life right now. His hand is upon your life right now. The hand of the Lord is upon your life. You may be weak this morning, but He is your strength. His hand is upon your life. You may be sorrowful this morning, but the Lord promises that He's going to comfort you in your sorrow. You may be finding yourself in a time of confusion, but with His hand upon your life, He will guide you through it. You may find yourself sick and feeling sick, but the promise of the Lord God is that His hand is upon you. His healing touch is upon you. Amen? God has prepared a way for you. He's been there. He's preceded you in your future. He's preceded you a year from now. And He's preparing you right now for that. That's great. I love in verse 6, David's response to the way in which he's like a revelation. God, You know me this intimately. You know this. In his response to how well God knows him, he says in verse 6, he says, knowing all of this is just too wonderful for me. I can't even wrap my head around it. See here the joy and the peace and the comfort that comes and the assurance. God, You are knowing me, that knowing that You know me this close. Knowing that You're this intimate with me, knowing that You're this familiar with who I am, and You're this intentional towards me, God, it's just too wonderful for me to even wrap my head around. Kind of brings back the wonder of Christmas. You know, as the kids, there's so much wonder in the air. Right? It's that wonder. God, it's just too wonderful for even me to wrap my head around it, but I thank You for it. And you can kind of see David, he's got such an awareness of the presence of God, and in verse 7, he asks this rhetorical question. He says, where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? And I want you to know this morning that when David is here, he's got this such an awareness of God's presence, something that each and every one of us can benefit from this morning. A heightened awareness of God's presence, a heightened awareness of His omnipresence, which means that God is present at the same time everywhere. No matter where you go, God is there. He sees everything. He's aware of everything. In Jeremiah 23, God says to us, He says, there's no place that a man can hide that he could hide from me. I see it all. I'm there. There's nothing that you can do or anywhere that you can go that is beyond God's view. You cannot escape His presence. He's all seeing. He's all knowing. He knows everything about you. And you know what else? The greatest gift that He gives to you is to allow you to know Him the same way. It's the greatest gift that He gives you. And there are times when we move ourselves away from His presence and we kind of distance ourselves, and there's usually, it's not intentionally, but a lot of times one of the greatest problems that all of us have as people is that we forget about the presence of God. We forget about His presence just in our day-to-day lives because He's not physically here with us, but His Spirit is now living and dwelling and breathing and coursing through our veins right now, the very Spirit of God in you right now. We sometimes lose sight and we forget that His presence is everywhere with me all the time, and that His presence is this non-condemning presence. For there are no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But everything in His presence is He's manifesting Himself completely and revealing Himself to you in His presence. But sometimes we forget about it. And there's a number of things that could cause us to forget about His presence. It could be simply that you forget about His presence because you have other interests, that you're looking to this or to that or the things that really please you, and you really just forget about God because you're pursuing the interests that you have in mind. You may forget about God's presence because of your busy schedule. I think we could all relate to this right now. That your schedule is so filled up. It's so cram-packed with work and busyness that you don't have time to sit and be still and know that He is God. To sit and be still and know, that word is the most intimate of intimate words in the Bible, to know that He is God with you. His forgetfulness can be caused by simply a lack of communication with Him, not spending time talking with Him, conversing with Him, engaging God in His presence. You being, I said this last week, but there is a reciprocation of this love relationship where His presence is fully there, fully engaged, and He wants us to be fully engaged with Him. Communicating with Him, sharing the darkest things, being completely honest and vulnerable before God. This is what His desire is. He came in the most intimate forms because He wants to be as intimate as possible with you. But I've realized and I've learned from myself that when you forget His presence, it results in three things that I wrote down here. When we forget about His presence in any of these kind of ways, that it results in fear. Fear begins to well up because you lose sight of the fact that His perfect love casts out and removes all fear. And then fear starts to well up and you start to fear for your future. You start to fear for your marriage. You start to fear for your children. You start to fear for this country. You start to fear for your finances. You begin, fear just wells up and wells up and it wells up. It also results in worldliness. When we forget about how present God is with us, it results in worldliness. We lose sight of the presence of God. The things of this world, they are so enticing. And when we look at the things of this world and the way the world does things, we see it and we think, oh man, that must be consequenceless. When you forget about the presence of God, everything in the world is forbidden pleasures of this world. It makes the way of this world seem, the way that leads to death, it makes it seem right. And it's enticing and that it's consequenceless. And when we forget about His presence, it results in discouragement. Because you having believed this lie that this is consequenceless and it's the right way, and when you give in to sin that's crouching at your door, you find yourself overwhelmed with guilt, shame, and condemnation. And none of those things are found in the presence of God. All because of our awareness of the presence of God was forgotten. And so my prayer, as I've been studying, I pray for you guys while I'm doing these, when I study this, and I pray more than anything that what you walk away from this morning is an ever a growing awareness of the presence of God in your life. Because it will change everything. It'll change your outlook on everything, your perspective of what you face next week. If you just remind yourself, wow, God, you're with me right now. You're with me tomorrow. I've got that big thing coming up. God, you're with me there. You've already been there. You already preceded me there. And I thank you for that, God. You see how it relinquishes fear. It relinquishes that discouragement that comes. So for some of you to grow in this awareness of God, the presence of God in your life, it may require you to start thinking more about the interests of others rather than your own interests. Pursuing the interests of others or even pursuing the interests of God rather than your own interests. Making His priorities your priorities. For some of you, it may require you to reprioritize your life and your busy schedule. Mark out in your day a time when you can be still and recognize God's presence and just be in the moment with Him. Just be with God. To be still and to recognize His presence. And what happens is that when you're there and you're just still and you're with Him in that moment, not only do you begin to recognize that His presence is with you throughout the day, but you begin to live in His presence. And you begin to live through His presence. His presence lives in and through you. And for some of you, it may require you to be present with God in communication, taking time in your day where you're being filled with your presence of God. There has to be time in your day where you're being filled with the presence of God and you're being renewed by His Word. Where you're just engaged fully in His presence. Yes, you can get by in life without talking with God. You can get by without communicating with your God. Sure you can, but that is no life to live at all. And it certainly is not the life that God intends for us to have. And it's certainly not a life of abundance that Jesus came to make available to you. He said, I came to give you life in all of its fullness. You experience that fullness when you're engaged in His presence, when you are present with the One who is present with you. Does that make sense? And you know, this is not a God who's just simply, you know, when we think about God being present and He sees everything you do, He knows everything you're doing, His eyes are on you all the time. He's not this God who's just like over His shoulder, looking over your shoulder like, I see what you did there. Or looking out the corner of your eye saying, yep, don't worry, I caught that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when I see that, when I think of this God who's ever present with me, I see a God who is fully engaged. He's fully involved. He's fully fixated on every circumstance of your life, not wanting you to go through any of it alone. Without Him, He wants to go through it with you. He wants to travel the dark times with you. He wants to walk through it with you. He wants to show you Himself. He wants to reveal Himself to a greater degree. That's the God that is with you. Because in His presence, when you're with His presence, it's a manifestation of all that He is, isn't it? You get to know His heart. You get to understand Him, who He is, all the more. I look at what David says in verse 9 and 10. He says, Lord, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the seas, and really that's just a poetic way of saying, God, if I go anywhere, if I cross from the farthest ends of the sea in the world, God, You are even there with me. He says, even there You will guide me, and Your right hand will hold me. That should give you great comfort this morning. Because when we talk about the right hand of God is a lot of significance in Scripture. Because with the right hand of God, when He says the right hand of God is upon your life and He upholds you, that is the hand of strength and that is the hand of blessing. And when God's hand is upon your life, the right hand of God means the hand, the blessing and the favor of God is upon your life. All the good that comes from God is upon your life. It's targeted at you. The goodness of God, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the healing, the restoration, the redemption, all that is good comes from God and is targeted at you. His blessings hold you. His favor upholds you. It lifts you up. Don't hang your heads. Lift them high with joy because this is your God that upholds you with His righteous right hand. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This morning, I pray that each and every one of you leave here knowing that because God's permanent presence is with you, His omnipresence, you cannot escape His presence. And because you can't escape His presence, He has made it so that His blessing and His favor and His strength is what upholds you. The strength of God, the blessing of God, all that is good. And so I say to you this morning, rest in Him. Rest in this amazing promise and this truth that He is your peace and your refuge. The promise that you hold on to. Amen? Liz, I don't know where you went, baby girl, but could I invite the worship team to come on up, please, as we begin to wrap this into a close? You know, as David talks about this and this revelation and this increased awareness, heightened awareness of the presence of God, you see him just get so excited about it. And then he goes on, in verse 27, in chapter 27, we see this beautiful request that David makes. And I pray that each and every one of us makes this prayer request to the Lord, because he says that if you ask for things in my name, if they are in accordance with my will, I will give you the desires of your heart. And I want you to see, this becomes David's desire as he becomes aware of how the awareness and the presence of God and how close it is, how intentional it is, how fully engaged his presence is. He says this. Can you put that up in chapter 27? One thing I ask from the Lord. God has revealed his closeness. He's revealed his presence. It's overwhelmed him. It's too wonderful for even him to understand. He can't even wrap his head around it. He says, one thing I ask from the Lord. Only this do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This becomes his greatest request. When he's confronted with the omnipresence of God, when he's faced with the reality that God is fully engaged, that he's present with me everywhere, that he knows every word that's about to come out of my mouth, that every thought before it's even fully conceived, God, you're that intimate with me. You're that close to me. You've already been in my next week. You've already been in my next year, God. And your hand is upon me through it all. Your blessing and your favor rests upon me a week from today. Your blessing and your favor and your strength are there for me a year from now, and 5 years from now, and 10 years from now. Oh God, this is too wonderful for me. So one thing I ask from you, oh God, this is the only thing I seek, that I too may dwell in the house of the Lord, that my presence, that my body and my spirit and my mind would become awakened to your presence. And so God, I pray that you help me to seek you, that I would seek after you, that I would look for you with fervency, with immediacy. I was talking about in the first service, if anybody's under the age of 30 or 40, if you ever lost your phone, that fervency. And it's not a good thing. I'm using it as an example, right? But there's a fervency. Where is that thing that is all by me all the time? Where is it? I recognize that it's not with me. I've noticed that something is missing. I'm not. And that should be an awareness to you. God, why don't I feel close to you? Why is there fear welling up inside of me? Why am I chasing the things of this world, God? Why am I discouraged, oh God? That should be an indicator to seek after him and seek hard. Go after his presence. Go after it. Like Anthony said, just come down from the tree. You don't have to clean up everything. He does the cleaning up. Invite him into your mess. This close, amazing God wants to be a part of your mess. That's your God. So seek after him with fervency. David has this longing more than anything to live in the presence of God. To be constantly aware of his presence. And the promise of the word of God is that if you strive to live with a greater awareness of God and his presence in your life, then you will find him. And you will come to know that he will never turn away from you. And you will come to know that you have nothing, no reason for despair in any circumstance. This is the antidote to fear. This is the antidote to loneliness. The presence of God is your greatest need this morning. Nothing else but the presence of God in your life. And an ever-increasing awareness that he is with you. So I implore you this morning, seek the God who seeks you. Seek the one who seeks you. The one who sought you in your past, the one who is seeking you who in your present, and the one who is seeking you in your future. Seek the God who seeks you. As promised this morning, Jeremiah 29 says that if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. All of your heart. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And as we finish up, simply just want to say there is no substitute for the presence of God. Nothing in this world, nothing that this world says is great, substitutes for the abiding presence of God, and that knowing him as close as he knows you. So I pray that this becomes a burden of yours this morning, a burden of joy. A burden of joy, not a burden of discouragement and feeling condemned. I hope nobody in this room feels condemned or guilty or ashamed, because that is not the spirit of God. The presence of God, there's no condemnation. He's smiling upon you. He's saying, I'm with you through this time. I'm with you as you go through this. That's your God. And then it becomes like David just said, man, this is just too wonderful for me to even wrap my head around. And then he just begins to praise him and worship him. So Father, I thank you for your ever-abiding presence with each and every one of us right now. God, I'm asking you, and if this is your prayer, just say it along with me in your heart and in your mind. that, Lord, as I come to this place and I'm confronted with your ever presence with me in this moment, in the circumstances that I'm going through, the circumstances in the future, you've been with me in the past, you're with me right now, and you've already been with me in the future, and I thank you for that. And as I'm confronted with it, God, it is my heart's desire. I long nothing more than to know you more than I know you right now, to seek after you, to pursue you, God. This one thing I ask of you, God, this one thing I ask of you is that you would increase an awareness within me and every single person in this room who calls you their Lord and their Savior. God, I ask that you would increase the awareness, a heightened awareness of your presence in their life. Because in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And by your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. And that is the promise that we hold to. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people together say with joy, amen and amen and amen. Stand with us right now as we close the service. The worship team is just going to lead us through Ode to Joy.